Cape Talk from the continent.
And the positive stories coming out of the African continent this morning as we chat to Soka Sibiya, and she gives us a sort of a rundown of what happens on the African continent. But the good news stories is what we look at. Soka, very good morning to you and welcome to the show. Soka is, of course, the editor at Africa.com. Soka, the first Somali American elected into the United States Congress, and that is just one of the cherries on top of the cake.
Exactly. Good morning, Zane, and to your listeners. We've spoken about this for quite a while, you know, from when Ilhan Omar was basically running for the spot. So when she became a senator, this is when people started taking notice in terms of who she is, what she stands for, and what this actually means for U.S. politics. So yesterday, she was elected along with another lady who's also Muslim into Congress from the I don't know what they call them. I think from the areas or from the regions. I'm not sure if they call it we call it provinces. They call it something else in the United States. But the whole point of it and what we're seeing is that there's a whole shift in terms of the politics of fear versus the reality. And what people are seeing, and this is what came out through her vote, is that, you know, when you know somebody and you know what they stand for, no matter what other people may say about what the potential, what the fear should be, you're finding that more and more people are now trying to vote along the lines of what's real instead of what could happen or what fear has been planted in your mind. And this is what Omar was saying. She's 36 years old. She grew up in the United States because of the circumstances that happened back home in Somalia. She left because of the war, but she realizes that she is not war. She, you know, her being who she is doesn't mean that she brings about terror as well, which is what the whole fear tactic has been about in the United States. And what this also means as well is that as a woman that's been elevated into such a position, it also reflects on what we've been having here on the continent as well. The other days we were talking about how Ethiopia has basically elected women into powerful political positions to become decision makers. We are seeing that happening as well in Rwanda, for example. And we're seeing more and more women coming up the ranks in terms of becoming decision makers in politics, in policies as well, and it's part of what's happening all over the place.
And do you think that her being a Somali, Somali-American or Somalian, elected into Congress will bring out a better understanding through her influence about what the sort of challenges are in the African continent?
You know, that's what the hope is, but I think people should put the burden on one person. I think this is what happened as well when Obama became president. Because he has Kenyan descent, all of a sudden we thought that, you know, Americans would view Africa in a different way. And I don't think it works like that. I do think, though, it should be the fact that this whole fear politics should end. You know, we shouldn't be preaching tolerance. We should be preaching acceptance. We are different, and it's okay to be different. It doesn't mean that we don't want the same thing. You know, just because we have different religious backgrounds or different ethnic backgrounds doesn't mean we don't have things in common. For example, we all want to be safe. We all want to have access to medical care. We all want to have access to education and services. We all want to have a chance at the job market, you know, the equal opportunities, and it doesn't matter where you come from. I think this is what she has been preaching more than the fact that she's African. I don't think she shies away from her background in terms of being Somali, but I don't think that's her main purpose for being in Congress, that, you know, this is what Africans can do. And I don't think as Africans living in Africa, we should look towards her for that the type of elevation, for example. I think we as Africans living in Africa need to do our best where we are, and the world will see what we're doing and will copy from that.
She's only the start of a long list of ladies who were elected into power, sort of elected on the basis of the midterm elections that took place yesterday. Moving on from that story, Soka, Luwelia Youth, Key to Development, and I had a nice chat to a very young 22-year-old gentleman who says his business is hard work. So are the youth ready for this?
You know, they have to be. There's no other way. Liberia is coming out of they've had a rough history, you know, with regards to civil war, For example, they actually have one of the highest number of people who are maimed due to the civil war. And young people need to start stepping up to the plate. You know, when they're given the opportunity to do so, your age shouldn't be a factor. You've got new ideas, you've got new ways of thinking of things, and it should be bring about a positive change. So what's happening in Liberia, for example, is that now that there is a new president, we'll be coming up with new things. How can we plug into the youth energy? So whether this be through sports, developing our sports, you know, giving people something to rally around, whether it's a sports team, whether it's innovation and tech, the spaces where youth occupy, these are the spaces that need to be developed, you know, you plug in money into so that you have young people actually even being part of the decision makers. I find that when people are responsible or are part of the planning process, they tend to take care of those projects because it's also about them. It's a reflection of their identity just as much as it being a government policy or from elders, for example. And this is what Liberia is trying to focus on. Africa is going to have the largest youth population in the world in the next few years, in the next 3 decades. And it's only right or only wise at this stage to start plugging into how do you get youth into politics, into social structures, into sports development, you know, and actually even shake off this whole thing that leaders in Africa lead until way past pension age. And this is what Liberia is trying to do as well.
Yeah, and I think that's the key to it all is that a number of African politicians and presidents are you know, the age of 60 and 70 and 80 and even older than that, getting into their 90s, know, and it's scary because that's a sort of a generation that's left behind is the youth.
Exactly, you know, and I think what we also forget is that they start off young, so for them to actually be sitting at the helm until the age of 80. Some of them started in their 40s as presidents, where they were the ones championing for young people being involved. But then they sit there. When they get into that position, then they become stuck. And I think this is what young people should learn, that, you know, you need to always be innovating yourself. You need to change. Don't get stuck in a position. You can move around into different positions. You don't have to have the power seat for 50 years, for example. You know, fresh ideas need to be injected in and be willing to let go when you see that you no longer bring the change that you thought you could.
That's Soka Sibiya, Africa.com editor, chatting to us this morning about the good news coming out of the African continent.